What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad you guys stayed up to tune in and join a player. We're going to chop up some real heavy game on tonight's broadcast, family. I promise you that. Let everybody know that we're live right now. So when we get through with that commercial break, we can get right on into it, ladies and gentlemen. But while we do the commercial break, y'all head over to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get your Hidden Colors 5 movie theater tickets, because we got 3 weeks for the world premiere of Hidden Colors 5. 3 weeks, family. So go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and let everybody know that we're live tonight. Tune in. Strap up. It's going to be a good one tonight, family. So we're going to take that quick break. We'll be right back after these very quick messages.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Would you like to make 6 figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. What's up, family? On Code Clothing is the official uniform of the movement that we call Black Empowerment. They've empowered so many people for so long, now it's time for us to make the empowerment the new global trend. On Code is a brand that's exclusive and not for general consumption. You dig? You gotta be codified to even appreciate this thing of ours. So get the fly summer gear at OnCodeClothing.com. Use the discount code HC5 at checkout and save an additional 10% when you purchase 2 or more items. So go to OnCodeClothing.com. Are you looking for 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm, oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Yo, check out 11-year-old hip-hop artist named Ethan. He has a brand new EP out right now entitled Focus, and it is surprisingly good. And yes, he's only 11 years old. His music is kid-tested, parent-approved, and it's the best alternative to a lot of the ratchetness that's going on out there in the game right now. So check out Focus by the little homie Ethan, and it's available right now on all streaming and download platforms. And make sure you add my boy Ethan to your favorite playlist. Yo, is dating and relationships and life in general kicking your ass? Well, that might be because you think this is a game out here, and it's not. This is war. So come on a mission with Victory Unlimited, the world's first black self-help superhero, and listen to dating, relationship, and life strategy advice like you've never heard before. The Victory Unlimited Show, available at victoryunlimitedshow.com and everywhere else that great podcasts are heard. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit Bundle Today, Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes two DVDs, two CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're here. We're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ready to chop it up. And again, I hope you guys have your tickets for HC5. It's in theaters in a few weeks. I'm excited. I am so excited, man. The film is a monster. You guys are going to love it. Look, we have, for a limited time, some HC5 big movie posters that's available right now on HiddenColorsFilm.com. It's only going to be available for this weekend, okay? This weekend only. At the end of the weekend, we're not going to sell them anymore, but we're going to have the HC5 movie theater posters available this weekend only. So go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get the official movie poster. Keep it as a souvenir. Keep it as a collector's item. And own a piece of that history. And put it up in your neighborhood. Put it up in your window. Let everybody know about the film. Let everybody know that they need to come to the theater with you. A lot of the theaters are sold out already. Hopefully we can get some additional showtimes that night. But again, go to your city and see if there are tickets still available. There's a few cities that are already sold out. But again, go check your city at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. And also get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 and the movie 1804 that's available on HiddenColorsFilm.com. So, a lot of stuff we're going to get into. What's happening in the news? Did y'all see Dapper Dan, the legendary Mr. Dapper Dan? He was on The Breakfast Club. Pretty good interview. And I tweeted about this. A lot of people had mixed feelings about it. Some folks thought he was soft-shoeing a little bit. Some folks thought he was spitting some real good stuff. The first half of the interview, when he was talking about his history, the history of Harlem, and him hanging with a lot of the gangsters and how he got started with the clothes in the 80s. That was very interesting stuff, just because I'm a big history buff and I love history. So he was dropping some good stuff as far as that. And then later on, you know, some people, I can see where they felt like he was soft-shoeing a little bit, because basically Dapper Dan, he's working for Gucci now. In the 80s, Dapper Dan was making all of these real fly clothes, these very innovative clothes, but he was using established brands like Gucci, and then he'll make a Gucci sweatsuit. You know, he created a lot of the modern hip hop style. You know, back in the 80s, everybody was rocking the Dapper Dan clothes. I mean, he was definitely an innovator. But they got at him for trademark infringement because he was using Gucci, Louis Vuitton, stuff like that.
And, you know, some people felt a certain way because he said that Malcolm X was a sellout and Dr. King was a coon. But I get the context he was speaking in at the time in the 60s. And again, he was running around in the 60s. At the time, out there in New York, a lot of people felt like Malcolm, you know, because Malcolm was going up against the Nation of Islam. So I get what he's saying as far as that. And at the time, in the 60s, remember, a lot of black folks, truth be told, they weren't really rocking with Dr. King like that. If we want to be very honest, Dr. King has been rebranded. But in the 60s, there's a lot of folks who had reservations about Dr. King. A lot of folks thought, they did think he was a sellout because you had a lot of people who were radical and you had a lot of coons who thought he was too radical. So people felt a certain way about Dr. King back in the day. But the thing is, he started soft shoeing, and Charlemagne asked some good questions. Shout out to Charlemagne. Charlemagne asked him some real good questions, and he pressed him on a few things. And he pressed him on Gucci's racism, and that's when he started to do a little, you know, Dapper Dan started to coonsplain a little bit. He started talking in circles and talking about there's racism everywhere and all this stuff. So the issue that I have with it, with the interview, with Dapper Dan, rather, is basically Dapper Dan got a job for Gucci and he was trying to spin it as if it's something empowering, as if he's infiltrating the system from within and he's going to use all that to create this other big brand. He was kind of trying to spin that angle, and that's not, he's not doing that. No, you're not doing that. You just got a good job. You got a cool little job, bruh. And if he kept it like that, just say, look, man, I'm 70-something years old, and he looks good for his age, by the way. He's, you know, he's in his mid-70s. You know, looks like he's in good health. But he just should have been like, yeah, you know, I got me a cool little job. You know, I retire on this cool job. I got a cool job. You know, with all this, yeah, we need to infiltrate from the inside. And that's, brother. You got a job. You got a job, and that's cool. That just say what it is. Let's don't start bullshitting people and try to make it seem like it's some other than what it is. You dig? But shout out to Dapper Dan. And I think his book might be interesting. I got to check his book out. But I digress. Speaking of artists, earlier tonight, people were mad at Jermaine Dupri. Because Jermaine Dupri kind of said some real shit. Jermaine Dupri was talking about, he was doing an interview somewhere, and they asked him about female rappers. And he said, basically, a lot of female rappers out here now is just basically strippers rapping, and they rapping about the same thing, which is true. All right, Jermaine said something that's absolutely true. Everybody's rapping about the same thing, twerking, fucking niggas, fucking bitches, you know. That's what female rappers are rapping about now. I mean, it's popular. A lot of people like it, but from a hip-hop standpoint, when you look at it, from a hip-hop standpoint, and that's how Jermaine is looking at it, and that's how other people who respect the culture of hip-hop, when you respect the culture and you understand the culture, you'll see what where he's coming from. And he's spitting truth. It's the truth. You have, you know, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, and the City Girls. You know, they all get on stage. They do the same thing. Not knocking it. I'm just saying it is what it is. And if we're going to talk about things from a hip-hop perspective, you know, that's not in the same realm as traditional hip-hop. And I say that because one of the rules of hip-hop, you don't really emulate other people's styles. Everybody's not supposed to come out and do the same exact thing. That's a violation of what traditional hip-hop is. Now, it's cool pop music or whatever. But again, if we're talking about it from a hip-hop artistic standpoint, Jermaine Dupri is absolutely right. And you got a lot of Soy Milk, Anchor Baby clowns on social media trying to talk trash about Jermaine, but they don't. These are people who don't respect the culture. They don't respect black Americans anyway. They don't respect the culture. And I understand where Jermaine is coming from. He's been in the hip-hop game for a minute. Remember, Jermaine, when he was a kid, didn't he go on the Fresh Fest? I know he was on tour with Houdini. So, you know, Jermaine was rolling with some heavyweights. He was with some hip-hop legends on that Fresh Fest tour. So this guy, he's been around the real deal for a long time. So I get where he's coming from 100%. And plus, this dude produced The Brat. The Brat is arguably the greatest female rapper, or at least in the top three. I would argue she's the greatest female rapper. I will argue that. Let's break a bottle and fight me. Definitely in the top three. In the chat room here, who's your top three? And I'm talking about female artists, female rappers, who's been on the charts before. I mean, let me use that caveat. Because sometimes people will be like, oh, I know this girl who's a battle rapper. I ain't talking about people who do battle raps in basements and nothing like that. I'm talking about people who is actually charted. Who's your top three? Your top three spitters. I'm saying The Brat is definitely in the top three, and I would argue number one. MC Light is thorough. Brat can out-rap Light, though. Latifah is thorough. Brat can out-rap Latifah. You dig? I love Light. Light is up there. The Brat can out-rap her. I'm telling you, The Brat is very underrated. The Brat can spit, man. She's very underrated. But she was the first female rapper to go platinum, the solo artist to go platinum. So, again, Jermaine has worked with that. You work with that, and then you see, you know, period, all that type of shit that's out now. Motherfuckers ain't even rapping on beat now. I mean, come on. You dig? It's motherfuckers who ain't even on beat now. And people think it's hot. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay, Young M.A. Okay, Young M.A. can spit. But let me say this. Let me say this. And I'm glad somebody brought up Young M.A. When I look at a female rapper, I kind of judge them based on them rapping like a girl. You dig? Because you have other female rappers out here. They're cool, but they rap like dudes. You understand what I'm saying? They rap like dudes. So like somebody mentioned Rod Digger, and I love Rod Digger. Rod Digger can spit. Rod Digger can spit, but Rod Digger raps like a dude. She has the cadence of a dude. You understand? Young M.A. can spit. I will give Young M.A. hers. She raps like a dude. You understand? So when I talk about female rappers who rap like a girl, like a female, you dig? That's what I'm talking about. But anyway, but I digress. Somebody said, yup, Mia X. I like Mia X, but Mia X ain't even in the top five. And I like Mia X. Mia X ain't in the top five. What y'all talking about, Mia X? And I love Mia X, but she ain't nowhere near the top five. But y'all, are y'all on that lean? What y'all talking about? Well, y'all niggas grow up. Yeah? Yeah, Mia X has a crazy... Her catalog is thorough, but... and I'm not dumping on Mia X. I love Mia X, but now that she ain't on... She ain't... You think Mia X is going to outspit Brat? Y'all niggas is on that flocka. Y'all on the narcotic. But anyway, speaking of rappers in Atlanta, did y'all see the other day in Atlanta, the Spirit of Ogun gave a little reparations package to the people of Atlanta? There was a Brinks truck door that flew open on one of the freeways out there. What freeways was that in Atlanta? Nigga, there was money everywhere. Boy, there was traffic jams, niggas jumping out them cars. Shout out to Atlanta. Let me hold something, Atlanta. Won't y'all let a player hold something? Because I know you got it. I saw you. I synced you. I synced you on 285. Jumping out your car. You left your baby in the car and everything. The baby crying and you down the street grabbing 50s and 20s. Go lock the door at least. Y'all were out there getting money. Y'all didn't even put the goddamn car in park. The car was still in neutral, and y'all niggas was out there in Atlanta grabbing money. There was a surge in strip club attendance that night in Atlanta. y'all was showing out in Atlanta with that freeway money. Oh, shout out to Ogun for throwing that little reparations package out there. I love it. And some niggas was giving the money back. They got scared. They said they're going to start arresting niggas. And some fool went and took the money back. I'm like, nigga, please. I wish I would have took some damn money back. I'm like, nigga, I won this shit at the Riverboat Casino. Get the fuck out of my face. Taking the money back. Scared. I saw some nigga up there skinning and grinning. They gave that nigga an Applebee's coupon after he done turned in like $2,000. I'm like, you dumb Negro. I was not about to go to jail over this little old money here. Nigga, please. Jail, oh Lord Jesus. Let me pray on it. Lord Jesus. Nigga, turn the money back in. I wish I would. Nigga, I would have been out there on that street with a little vacuum cleaner and a rake. Scooping up every dime I could get. Fuck out of here. Don't scare me. I use my stolen money to bail out. Fuck out of here. Anyway, man. But what's going on, man? Look, we're talking about being black when it's convenient. We're talking about when people are black when it's convenient. And that describes Kamala Harris. I mean, they are so desperately trying to shame black folks because young black folks are not really rocking with Kamala Harris. Her policies are garbage, garbage, garbage. We don't like her policies. We don't like her fakeness. We don't like her phoniness. But it's really her policies and really her vitriolic attitude towards black society. I mean, there is no reason for us to support Kamala Harris. Yeah. Her family, they own slaves down in Jamaica. We know that. But Kamala Harris is a damn joke. There is literally no reason to like Kamala Harris or to support Kamala Harris. Notice the Democrats, they're not giving us a reason why we should get with Kamala Harris. When we ask Kamala Harris to do something for us, what did she tell us? I'm not going to do nothing with black people. No! So right there is why we really, really don't mess with you. When you say that to some people and then turn around and say, vote for me, are you insane? Are the Democrats insane? And their whole narrative now, because they don't want to talk about her janky-ass policies. They don't want to talk about her policy, so they keep deflecting talking about her husband. Well, black folk don't like her because her husband white. That's them deflecting and lying because they don't want to deal with her policies. And remember, Kamala Harris, everything about her up until recently, they would always portray her as Indian American or Asian. They kept referring to her as the first Indian American this, the first Indian American that, the first Asian this. Now, they were even saying she was Asian when you look at old articles about her. Kamala Harris did everything she could to distance herself from being labeled black. So we're just giving her the same energy. Don't be black all of a sudden when it's convenient and you want votes. All of a sudden, now you dancing to the Cardi B and you listening to the Tribe Called Quest. And if we ain't going for the garbage you're trying to spew, all of a sudden, black folks are the real racists. This is the narrative that they're trying to throw on us. And I posted a clip of her when she was talking to Jack Tapper, I think that's his name. And I want y'all to listen to how she danced around calling herself black. Jack Tapper, he called her black. But listen to her. I want y'all to listen to how she, all the twists and turns and the gymnastics she used to not call herself black. Listen to this.
And if you win, you would be the first black female president in the history of this nation. What does that mean to you?
Well, listen, in every position that I've held, when I was district attorney, I was elected as the first woman of the city and county. I was the first woman of color in the entire state of California. When I ran for attorney general and when I was elected, it was as the first woman ever and as the first person of color ever. And, you know, frankly, Jake, my mother used to have a saying, and she would say to me, Kamala, you may be the first to do many things, but make sure you're not the last.
Okay. Now, that's her own words. I mean, this woman went out of her way to say everything but black. I'm a woman. These are little old trick words. I'm a woman of color. I'm a woman and I'm a person of color. See, black people, we know those are dangerous trick words that raises our antennas. The minute we hear that, we know it's going to be bad. All of that means non-black. When people start talking about person of color, woman of color this and color that and color, that means non-black. That's a trick bag that gives the illusion that we're talking about black people and others. No, that means non-black people. And black people are just not going for it. And there was an Asian writer for, I think, the Washington Post. I forgot what it was, but she wrote an article trying to criticize black people for not getting down with Kamala Harris. And I'm like, wait a minute. We're not going to have all these first and second gen immigrants dogpiling on us. Because when I looked at this Asian writer's page, I mean, everything about her page was advocating for Asian American rights, Asian American policies. All of this stuff in her page was about getting stuff for Asian Americans. So it's okay for these people to look out for their group, but when we do it, they want to dogpile on us. Don't let people run this game on you. And as a matter of fact, speaking of that Asian writer, I posted a picture of her. There was some kind of meeting, some kind of Asian diversity meeting that they went to, and it was a bunch of Asians. I'm like, where in the hell is the diversity? This is why I don't like those little trick words like person of color and diversity. It was a meeting they had that was supposed to be a diversity meeting. It was basically Asians from different parts of Asia or Asian Americans who had immigrated from different parts of Asia. That was the diversity. See, this is the kind of game and the tricks they run on us. Everybody is against us. See, this is why we're stopping this nonsense. This is why black folks are getting on code and saying, look, it's our time. See, black Americans, we've been treated like that mother. We've been treated like that old grandmother that raises all these children. There's just children coming in back to back to back, and you raise these children, and the grandmother's been sacrificing her little money, sacrificing her health, sacrificing her time to make sure all her children are good. Everybody's eating off the grandmother, eating her food, eating off her table, living off grandma. You raise all these ungrateful ass kids, and then after a while, grandma says, look, all y'all get out. I'm done raising y'all. It's grandma time. It's time for grandma to have a life. And that's black America right now. We're the grandparents that's been used and abused by a bunch of ungrateful children. It's time for us to look out for us. This is why you see old black folks in Vegas all the time getting it in. They're like, I'm going to raise all these badass kids. I'm about to go up here to Vegas. I'm about to drink, smoke. I'm about to get it in my old age. I'm about to go on these slot machines and hit a lick. I'm about to get it popping. You understand? So we're letting everybody know it's our time. We've done enough. We've done everything we can for you. We've done everything we could do for you. We can't do no more. It's all about us right now. See, the thing is, people use us and then abuse us. And then when they get in trouble, they want us to come to the rescue. just like with this ASAP Rocky situation. Are y'all familiar with this ASAP Rocky situation? The rapper ASAP Rocky went over there to, I think he was in Sweden, and he does a lot of stuff overseas. And he was over there in Sweden. He got into some kind of fight with somebody, and they put him in jail over there. And he's still in jail over there in Sweden. And a lot of people are on some, yeah, we got to free Rocky. We got to free ASAP. Free, we got to help him. We got to free ASAP. But then a lot of people remembered some of the tweets and some of the interviews that he has done, really dumping on Black Americans. There was an infamous interview he did where, let me find the interview. Let me read that thing verbatim, as a matter of fact. That'll be better. Let me find the interview. Hold on one second. Let me find that. One second, because he said some hellified stuff in here. Hold on one second. Let me find it. Looking for it now, because somebody asked him, where the hell is this? Okay, I think this is it. Yeah, somebody asked him, this was a couple of years ago, I want to think they asked him about Mike Brown or something like that, but I think this was Time Out Magazine, something like that, and they asked him to speak on Black Lives Matter. He said, they're not forcing me to do shit. I'm just going to stay black and die. Why? Because I'm black. I got to, every time something happens because I'm black, I got to stand up. What the F? Am I Al Sharpton now? I'm ASAP Rocky. I didn't sign up to be no political activist. I want to talk about my motherfucking lean, my best friend dying, the girls that come in and out of my life, the jiggy fashion I wear, my new inspiration in drugs. I don't want to talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit, because I don't live over there. I live in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate. I'm in the studio. I'm in these fashion studios. I'm in these bitches' drawers. I'm not doing anything outside of that. That's my life. Okay? So my man just let it all hang out. My dude let it all hang out. And I mean, he said some other stuff too. So he said some stuff about dark skinned black girls or whatever. So he said a little slick shit like that before. And a lot of people are pointing this out. And there's some people who are like, oh man, we shouldn't even do that, man. He was young, like Joe Budden. He came out and said, man, he was young, you know, he has to grow. And, you know, the man is in a situation, people shouldn't even bring that up. I mean, but damn. Basically, people are giving ASAP the same energy that he gave us. People are giving ASAP the same energy that he gave us. We're not going to run out and put the cape on for ASAP. And look, I don't wish the brother to be in jail. I hope he gets out of jail. I hope he gets out. I don't want to see nobody in jail, especially any black person globally. Because I've been to jail before, and I don't wish that on anybody. I don't want to see the brother in jail at all, but what we're not going to do, we're not going to run and put the cape on. We're not going to put the cape on. He wasn't that young. Shit, this was only a couple of years ago, and the brother's 30 now. But we're not going to put the cape on, though. I mean, damn, bro. Where are all them bitches? You know, you get them to make some noise. Where's all the people at Soho, Brother Rocky? You see, this is a learning lesson right here. See, this is what life is about. This is how you learn, when you do some stupid ass shit and then you get into a situation and the energy you put out being on some dumb shit, it comes back and you learn from that, because it's a pain. It's a growing pain. You dig? Where's all the people in Beverly Hills, bruh? I don't see none of them talking. You understand? Where are all the bitches and the Soho people in the Beverly Hills? Where are they at? Where they at right now? See, now everybody wants to jump up to foundational black Americans and want us to make noise when they get fucked up in the game after they didn't talk real greasy. And let me tell you something. All that stuff he was talking, that has nothing to do with youth. That has something to do with him not identifying himself as a foundational black American. He doesn't look at himself like that because he's Caribbean. That dude is Caribbean. That's why. Listen, let me let y'all hear it from him. There was an old interview he did. Let me let y'all hear something real quick. This is the reason why he said all that stuff. It had nothing to do with youth. He believes all that because he doesn't think that he's one of us. Listen to this.
Yeah, I'm Bajan. My dad's from Barbados. So, yes, I do fuck with Caribbean music.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so that's an old... Let me play one more time. He was like, yeah, I'm Bajan.
Yeah, I'm Bajan. My dad's from Barbados. So, yes, I do fuck with Caribbean music.
Yeah, now his mom is supposed to be from here, but his dad is from Barbados. But notice, he didn't say I'm black and... I'm American in Barbados. No, I'm Bajan. He's very definitive about that. No, that means something. He's from Barbados. And like I've told you guys, a lot of these people from these first and second gen immigrants and anchor babies, they have dual allegiances and they do not view themselves as one of us. I've been telling y'all that for the longest. This is why they can throw us under the bus so fast. You're like, damn, you talking like that about other black people? In their mind, they don't think they're one of you. They think they're something different. They think like that. That's just what it is. A lot of foundational black Americans, it's kind of hard for us to wrap our mind behind the stupidity of that, but it is what it is. Because we know the deal about white supremacy. That's why we kind of look at each other the same. We know how white supremacy is. But over there, they think like that. In the Caribbean and Africa, they come over here, too many of them, not all, but too many of them. When they get here, they think they're something else. They think they are something different. And it's real heavy over there in Barbados, by the way. In the Caribbean in general, but Barbados in particular, you know, certain things that happen on certain islands create certain mindsets. There were early laws that stopped a lot of certain parts of discrimination in Barbados. I forgot the name of that law. It was a certain law that, like, over here in the States, we had Jim Crow, so we were reminded every day that, hey, we're not accepted by white supremacist society, and that's okay. But over there in Barbados, some of the whites over there, you know, you had the Bajan Creoles, so some of those Negroes, which is very rare in those British colonies, but some of the Negroes felt like they were almost family with the British. You know what I'm saying? Some of them felt like they were family with the British because they were in such a small, confined place. So it was very unique over there. So this is why a lot of them like to go to the UK and to Britain and all that stuff, because, you know, they feel like, you know, that's their motherland. You dig? It's real heavy stuff. So when they get over here, they think because of their proximity to the British and they feel like they're closer to the British, they feel like they're somehow different. See, this was a British colony over here, the early colonies of America, but we knew we weren't like them. We already knew. And plus, there were black people over here before the British, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But they identify more with the colonizers there, over there in certain islands. It's real heavy stuff, man. So when they get over here, they look like us. They be jet black, but boy, what the shit that's in their brains. Yeah, they embrace the colonizer. And look, I told y'all, I was just over in the Virgin Islands not too long ago, and I'm telling you, nigga, it felt like 1875 out there, dude. It feels like slavery is still popping out there. The energy, the way folks was acting, it feels like slavery in some of those Caribbean islands. Remember, Candace Owens is from St. Thomas. She's from those Virgin Islands, and look what big of a coon she is. You understand me? See, we've been constantly reminded that we ain't gonna assimilate into white supremacist society, and we cool. So that makes us wake up to a different reality. But we got to understand that this is very common for people to have these dual allegiances, these dual alliances, you know, like Roland Martin and all these other people. And when they get here, and we talk about this all the time, when they get here, they get with the oppressor class to undermine us and then pretend that they're down with us. See, a lot of them will come over here and they'll wear their little kente cloths and they'll act extra super black. And the minute they get behind closed doors, it's bedwinch time. We got to understand how deep that is. I was going back and forth with some of these mute R. Kelly people. And speaking of R. Kelly, they just arrested R. Kelly again. They got him on federal charges. This happened tonight, not too long before I started broadcasting. They've arrested R. Kelly on federal charges now. They were not about to let Epstein be the face of pedophilia. Epstein has been in the news, and we told y'all, every time one of these white men get caught up on a sex crime and it start to make headlines, all of a sudden they're going to wheel the black person out, and there's only one they can wheel out, and that's R. Kelly. They can only wheel R. Kelly out because there are no other black folks doing that, because we don't do that over here systematically. There is no systematic pedophilia in black American society. We, black American society, I'm going to say it again. Black American society, we are the only place that does not have systematic pedophilia, meaning you cannot go among black society in America and somebody's going to direct you to where they got children for sale for sex. That just doesn't happen in foundational black American society. In other places it happens. It doesn't happen with us. We don't do that. That's why they keep having to wheel R. Kelly out. That's the only, they keep having to do him, and they keep trying to associate him with black America as if this is something that we do. See, they've been trying to put this thing on us and make this false equivalency of sexual deviancy in our society. And this is why they get these immigrant coons who come over, like these mute R. Kelly women, and they create a movement like that where they get money from these white nonprofit organizations. I did a lot of research on them, and they're all clicked up with these white nonprofit organizations. And one of the co-founders of the Mute R. Kelly, her name is, what the hell is her? Her last name is Barnes. I'm very bad on that. I'm not looking at her name. She's not that significant. But she's one of these bed wenches. She's all, we done found pictures of her with Zaddy. We done found tweets and posts of her fantasizing about white men. And then I really got her. I found her, one of her social media pages, where she had a Somalian flag up. Now, she has since taken it down, but she had a Somalian flag next to an American flag. And I said, there it is right there. She quickly took that flag down when I pointed it out. I said, you goddamn hypocrite. See, these people come over here, the first and second gen immigrants, they come over here and start talking about black men here ain't this and toxic black men that. See, those women are those toxic black men crowds. Yes, Somalia has a flag. Yes, so she's up here, had her Somalian flag, talking about toxic black men this, toxic black men that. And lady, your lineage is from Somalia, where pedophilia and rape is systematic and rampant. They're raping girls over there in Somalia left and damn right. rape and pedophilia is normalized over there. Why don't y'all Google the damn pedophilia and sex crimes that's rampant in Somalia? And I ain't shitting on Somalia, but y'all know what goes down over there. And they don't say nothing about what happens in their home countries that they represent. They never, ever, ever say anything negative about their home countries. But they jump their ass over here talking about, mute R. Kelly. No, mute all those rapists in your country. You got women out there getting their clits cut off. And you going to jump your asses over here talking about some mute R. Kelly and toxic black men? Get the hell out of my damn face. Look at all the Me Too Negroes and the Mute R. Kelly Negroes and the Time's Up Negroes. All of them are foreigners. All of them are repping different countries where sex abuse is rampant. They be having Nigerian flags, Ghanaian flags, all the Congolese flags. All these people bring their ass over here and get clicked up to shit on black American men and women, talking about toxic masculinity over here. And you got whole villages of girls in their home country getting raped and kidnapped and tortured in broad damn daylight. You dig? So we got to call those hypocrites out. We got to call those hypocrites out. They will never say anything negative about their culture. And again, it's systematic there. They have whole systems over there of pedophilia and rape. It's systematic. We don't have that. Again, that's why they have to keep wheeling out R. Kelly. And see, these are a lot of anchor babies too. That's why these anchor babies are pretty dangerous. And also these people who were raised by non-black people. People like Dream Hampton. Dream Hampton said some slick about me the other day. She said what? She said something about ADOS leader Tariq, and I'm not a leader of anything. And how can I be a leader of slave descendants? That's some stupid shit. First, I'm not a leader, and people who descended from slaves are not a damn organization. See, they always try to centralize black folks so they think they can come up and punish them. That's some CIA, FBI shit that they done told them to do, to try to centralize black people who are looking at their black American lineage. You dig? That's that whole con game. But she said, ADOS leader. I'm not a leader of nothing. But Dream Hampton, she's another one. You know, she was the one who directed that whole R. Kelly thing. And Dream Hampton don't give a shit about no black girls. None of them do. This is a money grab. This is a hustle. All these mute R. Kelly people, they got little donation buttons on their pages. This is a money scam. They don't give a damn about no girls. The money that they're collecting, they're not giving to the girls. They're not helping no damn girls. This is a cash grab. It's a scam. They're scamming for white mommy and white daddy. And Dream Hampton, she's doing it literally for white mommy. Y'all know Dream Hampton's mama's white? She was raised by a white woman. She don't let you know that. Dream Hampton, she done scrubbed all the pictures of her mama off social media, but Dream Hampton's mama's white. She was raised by a white woman. She don't like to let nobody know that. But that's where her camaraderie is. That's where her affiliation is. You understand? Certain people like that, they were raised by these suspected white supremacists. Even though your mama was fucking a Negro, a lot of these women still have these suspected white supremacist views, and they put that shit into their little Negro children. Dream Hampton don't give a shit about no black girls or black people, period. Do y'all know how many people have accused Dream Hampton of scamming them. I could get into that, but I won't. I can, but I won't. I got receipts of other sisters, all these so-called black women's that you fake care about, accusing her of scamming them. But I ain't gonna bring that on out right now. You understand? But the thing is, we got to understand how these people try to undermine us when we help folks and they come over here, and when it's time for us to get what we need to get, all these damn immigrant groups are throwing us under the bus, talking about what we should not get. I mean, these are some Johnny come latelys telling foundational black Americans what we should not get. This is why we got to stay on our square. We are not going to let these people bully us. We're not going to let them scare us. And we're not going to try to make them or allow them to turn us into some type of centralized covert organization. That's what a lot of these CIA and FBI operatives in the Root and the Malcolm Nances and people like that are trying to do. Well, these black folks talking about reparations, they're a covert group. They're a small group of bots, and this is the game they're trying to play. Understand. Foundational black Americans, we're just carrying on the lineage and the message of Dr. King. Dr. King, who was a foundational black American, he wanted reparations for us. And what we're going to do, because there are 40 million descendants of slaves in this country. So when they start talking about some small group, there is no small group of nothing. We're talking about lineage. We're not meeting in back alleys and corners somewhere. We're talking about the lineage of people. Foundational black American, that's a lineage. And I've seen articles written when people mention my name, they'll say Tariq Nasheed from Foundational Black America. That's not an organization. We're talking about a lineage. Harriet Tubman was a foundational black American. Frederick Douglass was a foundational black American. You understand? We're talking about a lineage. We're finishing Dr. Martin Luther King's dream. If you try to disrespect foundational black Americans, you're disrespecting Dr. King. See, we're going to have to let these people know, you cannot disrespect the lineage and the wishes of great foundational black Americans. Because they're afraid to give us a little. When it comes to reparations, these people are having convulsions. They're losing their minds. They don't want to give us nothing. I mean, just the thought of it is making them twist and turn, and that's okay. We need to make them twist and turn. We need to make them upset. We don't give a damn. Let them twist and turn and be upset. Because the thought of just giving us anything is bothering them. Because they understand, listen, foundational black Americans, they don't want us to have nothing because we've always been resourceful. We have always been resourceful because they know your power. You don't know your power. Because you don't even know your history. See, they just tell us that we just were in the field picking cotton like mules, and it was way deeper than that. When I say foundational black Americans, I mean just that. This is why it's very important to understand history, black folks. When I say foundational black Americans, we were here on this land before the English. We're before the Europeans. Now, we can get into the Olmec stuff and all that. We were here years and years before Columbus. But let's go by the white supremacist record, because I can break this stuff down looking at their record. And we've done so much and created so much. It wasn't just Cotton. We were extremely instrumental to the building of this country. Listen to what I'm saying. The narrative that they give is basically the white settlers were here and black folks came to Jamestown in what year they say? 1619? That's the official story of black Americans coming here to this land. That's what they tell you. Okay? They say we got here in 1619. And they know that that is not true. They know that that is not true. Now, one thing, a lot of the native aboriginal people who were on this land, a lot of them were captured and reclassified as black and Negro. A brother, and I say brother because he's a Native American dude, Jack Forbes, wrote a book called Africans and Native Americans. Real good book, breaking all this stuff down, how African people were here long time. But do y'all know that the first foreign blacks came over here and settled this place first? And this is documented. In 1526, let me give y'all a little history real quick. There was a Spanish colonizer named Lucas Vasquez de Ayón. And Ayón is spelled A-Y-Y-O-N, I think. They came here damn near 100 years before Jamestown. He came to the area that is now South Carolina. The Spanish, they were already in the Caribbean. Remember, in the mid-1500s, they were already in the Caribbean. You know, Christopher Columbus, like 30-something years earlier, you know, he had went to Hispaniola, which is Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So they were, the Spanish were already in the Caribbean. So they came on over here, and they tried to set up a colony. And they brought some enslaved black people with them. And when they got here, the white supremacists, again, they didn't know how to till the land. They didn't know how to have good relations with the Native Americans. The Native Americans were hostile to them because the Native Americans knew what the white supremacists were up to. They didn't know how to do manual labor. They didn't know how to grow anything. Just like I told y'all the other day about Jamestown. Those white supremacist English, when they went to Jamestown, their asses started starving. Damn near all of them starved to death at first. Same thing with the Spanish. The Spanish was over here starving too, didn't know what to do. And then the black folks rose up on their ass. The black people said, hey, damn this, and start beating the shit out of the Spanish and ran them the hell out of here. And the black people stayed and settled the land and moved into the mountains with the Native Americans. That was the first successful slave rebellion in this hemisphere. They don't like to tell you that. They tell you that most of the slave rebellions in the North American continent failed. That one did not fail. Those brothers beat their asses and sent them back to Spain and kicked it. And then when Balboa, another explorer, when he came over some years later, he saw them same Negroes. He's like, oh, who are y'all? You remember? Ask your friends. Ask your friends about that ass whooping about 20, 30 years ago. The Maroons over here, over there in South Carolina. They came and saw the same Negroes kicking it with the Native Americans. That's why you look at South Carolina, that energy, those Maroons and those descendants of the Maroons, they were still there for a long time. That's why there were so many rebellions around South Carolina. You have the Stono Rebellion in the 1700s. You have the Gullahs and the Seminoles and all that stuff. The brothers coming out of South Carolina, going down there to Florida and forming the Seminoles. Remember, the Seminoles were formed. When I say foundation, I just mean that. We founded a lot of this stuff. So black people, even from overseas, were the ones that could settle this place. They were over here interacting with the Native Americans and building with them. You understand what I'm saying? And not only were we cultivating good relationships with many of the Native Americans, and I'm not talking about those five so-called civilized tribes that became coons for white supremacists, because then they became slave owners too after we helped a lot of them. But the thing is, there were so many other things that black Americans were doing and creating if they just gave us a little. This is why they don't want to give us nothing. If you give us a little, we run with it. There was a brother who was enslaved named Benjamin Bradley out there in Maryland. Shout out to Maryland. This is in the 1800s. Benjamin Bradley was a slave, born a slave. And this brother, he would play with his master's white children. They were little playmates. And what this brother would do, he would do some eye hustling and watch them read. He would sneak and learn how to read from them. And they taught him how to read a little bit. Do you know this brother started finding scrap metals around? Just junk, just scrap metals. And this nigga built a damn steam engine. Benjamin Bradley built the steam engine just fucking around finding scrap metals. This brother found out how to read and became a damn engineering genius. This brother became an engineering genius because he fucked around and learned how to read. And he started making steam engines, and he made a steam. He couldn't patent it, though. They wouldn't let people who were enslaved patent shit. So he made a steam engine, and they admit that he made it. They know he did. And the U.S. government used the steam engine for warships. They used the steam engine for warships based on this little slave who fucked around and learned how to read. Don't let them make you think it was just some dumb niggas kicking cotton. Remember, they wouldn't let people who were enslaved get patents. But understand, there were some free black people who did get patents. If you were free, you can get a patent. And as a matter of fact, the first brother to get a patent was a brother out of New York. He was born in around 1791, a brother named Thomas Jennings. That was the first brother to get a patent. And you know what he got a patent for? That brother got a patent for dry cleaning. Dry cleaning was created by him. When you drive by a goddamn dry cleaners today, tip your hat to the dry cleaner, because it was a black dude created that. The patent is still on the books right now. It was a brother who created that. The dry cleaning was created by a black dude named Thomas Jennings. Oh, look all that shit up. The patent is still there. So when you drive by a damn dry cleaning store, a brother created that. Nigga, we are phenomenal as hell. That's why they had George Jefferson as a dry cleaner. See, white people know. Thomas Jennings. Thorough brother, and he was an abolitionist too. He was a rider. He was all against slavery. He used his money. He was free, but his wife and children were enslaved. So he got his money after he got his patent and got his children out of slavery. And as a matter of fact, in the 1850s, he funded a civil rights case that his daughter was involved in for, this was the first Rosa Parks case, quote unquote, where his daughter, Elizabeth Jennings, didn't want to ride on the back of the train, the Jim Crow train. So he funded a lot of the legal defense to desegregate certain trains. So look this up. I mean, we were riders, man. We are goddamn riders, dude. We are riders, foundational black Americans, man. We have to pay homage to our history. And the folks who paved the way, they paved the way for us, and we got to honor that. We can't let these Johnny-come-latelys come in and disrespect them and us. We are still riders. Oh, yeah, we know about Elijah McCoy, brothers like that. Oh, man, we did so much. And And the fact that we had so many black people who were enslaved, who were archaeological, not archaeological, but architectural geniuses too. See, when I say black folks built certain things, I'm not talking about we just got a hammer and nail and just started mindlessly beating on a damn piece of wood. No, I'm talking about there were people enslaved. There were black people who were designing shit. There was a brother in the South named Horace King who was a slave. Horace King was a slave. And as a slave, somebody, again, made the mistake, and I say mistake in quotes, of teaching him how to read. Somebody taught him how to read on the low. Then this brother became an architectural genius. He started building bridges all over the South. They would get this brother because he was so thorough. He was a prodigy. He was still enslaved. But this brother, Horace King, would build bridges all over the South. As a matter of fact, the first bridge that linked Alabama and Georgia, that over the Chattahoochee River, he built that. The white people didn't know how to do that shit down there. Remember, the South had a bunch of dumbass white people from Scotland and shit. They were stupid. They didn't know how to do all that. And they didn't really want to deal with the so-called Yankees. But this brother was a damn genius. Horace King. This brother, and they had him building bridges all over the place. And they couldn't steal a lot of the ideas from him because they needed him. And he was so in demand. It was such a demand for this brother. I mean, they would have him build bridges all over the place. And he would build courthouses and state houses and certain intricate staircases. I mean, this dude was an architectural genius without any training. He just somehow learned, somebody taught him how to read, and then this dude just took off with the shit. This is where we come from. They know if you give us a little bit, we gonna take it to the next level. And I can talk about the Lewis Latimers and all of these other great black inventors, man, who did so damn much. But this is why we got to understand who we are. And when I say foundational, I mean just that. We don't let nobody disrespect that. So when people start using words like akata and all that, nah, you're not going to akata us. Because, see, our people sacrificed. Our people were forced into a situation where their genius was trying to be stifled. And because our people had a genius, yet they had a humanity. This is why they didn't raise up and kill all these damn white supremacists. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Haitians didn't. I love the Haitians got them white supremacists off their asses. Shout out to them. But that's not nothing that no other group can come and look down on us about. You're not going to do that. We're not going to let you do that. Now, we're not going to be your scapegoats. We're not going to be your whipping boys. We're not going to help elevate you. And then when we put you up on the ladder, you take the ladder and kick it down. Now, we're not going to play that game. Yeah, we're not going to play that game. Now, we're going to start looking out for foundational black Americans, which is something that we should have done for a long time. And this is why people are having a hissy fit. The minute we're talking about looking out for foundational black Americans, if you an immigrant, we ain't hating on you, but hold your own nuts. Do you. But we're not going to sacrifice for you no more. We've done enough. And we're not going to be shamed for doing the exact same thing that other people do. Other people get to take pride in their heritage. They get to take pride in their lineage. And when we try to take pride in our heritage, in our lineage, in our bloodline, and the people who birthed us, all of a sudden we're bots. We're Akatas. We're xenophobic. All of a sudden, we get attacked and abused. Well, goddamn it, the abuse stops today. No more abuse. Because we're dealing with these deadly, vicious white supremacists, and we need all the energy we can. And black folks, let me say this, when we're dealing with these white supremacists, because listen, their numbers are dwindling. We know that. These white supremacists are dying off. I want you to take a trip around America and look at some of these white supremacists in these little segregated enclaves. These people are dying. You go to certain places. I was somewhere this weekend, and there were some people in the dominant society walking around Walmart. I went to Walmart, and some of these people are walking around looking half dead in the dominant society. They're looking like zombies right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more serious than they're letting on. They know. This is why they're so violent right now, because they're trying to prepare an apartheid state. This is why they're so violent right now. And this is why black folks got to be very careful, because I've been seeing different instances of black folks getting ambushed by not just race soldiers, by civilian white supremacists too. Out there, and I think this was in Colorado, there's this white supremacist suspect and his white supremacist suspect girlfriend. They were in an apartment complex, and there was a black family, a sister, a black woman and her children, popping fireworks for the 4th. So the white man and the white woman went outside and instigated an argument with them, talking about the fireworks, is scaring their dog. And then the white man started headbutting the sister. So her boyfriend came out, and the white supremacist male shot her. They arrested him and gave him a little weak ass $100,000 bail. So they're on code. That's the thing. Whenever a white supremacist kills a black person, they're going to give them the minimum bail, which is $100,000, which is a wink and a nod, letting them know that you did okay. Out there in Minnesota, a white supremacist suspect deliberately ran over a group of black people a few days ago in Minnesota. They didn't even charge this white supremacist suspect. They didn't charge him. They're on code heavy. Family, they're on code. And black people, let me say this. Because this white supremacist male who ran over those people, they didn't release his name. He's an old 83-year-old white man. They didn't release his name. When you guys are filming stuff, and I said this the other day on my live, black people, listen. When you're filming stuff, you're filming an incident, you're filming some form of police brutality, you're filming the aftermath of some kind of racialized attack. Black folks, act like investigators, please. Act like investigators. The problem is black folks be out here trying to perform and clout chase. I got a real big problem with this. First of all, you need to be on your P's and Q's and be fight and war ready. That's number one. If you just kind of happen upon a situation, act like an investigator. First of all, stop yelling, stop performing. Because what happens, we're so attention starved, we see something happening or we see some kind of attack happen. And we know that if we film it, it's going to go viral. So if it's going to go viral, let me start performing and getting me some clout. So you got niggas acting extra damn animated when you need to be filming pertinent information. Niggas be filming this stuff like, oh, man, look at what happened. Oh, man, it's crazy out here, man. It's cold in the D, man. This type of shit right here. Look at this, man. This happened. It's crazy, yo. I mean, damn, man. Man, it's crazy. He ran these folks over and shit. I'm just saying, yo. But anyway, my SoundCloud is a Hot Lyrics 83. You know, come on. Come on, let's stop playing. Let's stop playing. because when dudes were filming that white supremacist suspect who ran over the people, one thing they didn't do, they didn't film the dude's license plate so people could find out who the hell he is. See, that's what y'all need to be filming. When people commit some kind of crime, film license plates, film his face, film name tags, film officers' names. Y'all need to be filming pertinent information so we can know who people are. Stop performing and being goofy. You're in a damn war, man. Get intel. Y'all need to be out there doing, gathering more evidence than the law enforcement people. You have to be independent media, all of you. See, all of us has to be the media. All of us have to be investigators. All of us. Don't just be a goddamn loud spectator. Goddamn, what happened? Lord Jesus. Stop. Shut up and investigate. Y'all need to be having that camera in everybody's face out there so we can know who's who. Y'all need to act like investigators at all times. When y'all get ran up on by these random barbecue Beckys and all these people, y'all need to find out who they are immediately. You know, I'm pretty thorough with investigating folks and seeing who's who. But y'all need to be getting that information. What car did they get in? Get that license plate. Get a real good look at them. Get a good look at the complex they live in. See what's going on. See who these people are. So we can let the world know about their asses. I made a story go viral the other. I make stories go viral all the time. And one big story I made go viral was the suspected white supremacist male up there in the Bay Area. It was a black man going into an apartment complex waiting on his friend, and a random white dude who was with his little Asian son, little Asian and white son. The white man called the police on the brother because he was waiting on his friend. And his name, the white dude's name is Chris Kukor. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he's a manager at YouTube. And I put all this shit out. And all the mainstream media, all those people picked up on it. They would not have picked up on that if it were not for us. Chris Cooker or Coker, one of those names. I don't have his name in front of me. But yeah, he's a manager at YouTube. We put his name and his job out there. So now we look at YouTube funny. No wonder whenever we start talking about white supremacy, some of our videos get dipped and demonetized. Now we see why. You dig? See, when you start putting some names and some jobs out there, now your name is associated with your anti-black racism. Now you become toxic. See, that's the thing with white supremacy. See, they like to hide white supremacists because they're all on code and nobody's going to do it for us. We have to do that. They're on code. And I've had a couple of white supremacists and some of his sympathizers come to me like, hey, man, the guy, you shouldn't have done him like that. Oh, I've had some mayonnaise-splaining heavy. I've had some mayonnaise-splaining heavy. Like, Tariq, why'd you put him out there like that? The guy was just trying to be safe. No, you're not. That's very dangerous what he did. I don't like it. Black society doesn't like it, and we need to know who he is so that other black people will be on their P's and Q's around this guy. That's very dangerous what he did, and he's not naive. I did an interview with some newspaper talking about it, and they were like, well, do you think he was just naive to the ramifications that could happen? I said, he's not naive at all. No white person is naive when they're calling the police on a black person. They're not naive at all. They know exactly what they're trying to do. Let me tell black folks something. When white people call the police on you, they are hoping that the police come and blow your damn brains out. That's the reason why they're calling. They think that they're making a death call. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly the code that the white supremacists in law enforcement is on. They are hoping and wishing that a ghost skin is going to show up, meaning that's a white supremacist posing as a cop. That's what they're hoping to happen. They want you to get shot. I ain't gonna sit up here and act like he's just so naive and didn't know what he was doing. He can go to damn hell. He knew what he was doing, and people should know who the hell he is. He put everybody in danger. Him, his child, everybody. Even his child was begging him, "Daddy, no, don't do that." So yeah, we put him out there. He endangered the life of somebody. See, we got to be unapologetic about exposing these white supremacists. All of you should be expose ready. Be ready to expose these damn people. Stop playing. And stop talking that ASAP Rocky stuff. Well, it ain't got nothing to do with me. And then it hits you. Then all of a sudden, we got to drop everything and prioritize you. You understand? So what we're going to do, we're going to prioritize foundational Black American empowerment. That's what we're going to prioritize. Because the thing is, Black folks, we are never prioritized. Just like with the Democrats, and this is another thing, sisters, this whole thing where the Democrats are going to try to fake panda to Black women, they're trying that old trick. And thank goodness sisters ain't going for that goofy pandering act that the Democrats are trying to do. Well, Black women, you are so strong. It's so phony. They don't give a damn about Black women. They don't care. They're just trying to hustle you and scam you to come out and vote. And this is the thing. The Democrats' relationship to Black Americans basically is them coming up with different ways to con us and lie to us. Why do y'all think they're so desperate to get at Black Americans? You know why? Because they have no other large base. See, we're standing firm. We ain't moving, and they don't know what to do. We are their base. I want Black folks to understand this. See, they're trying to prioritize immigration, prioritize LGBT issues, but that's not their largest base. That's not, those voters are not going to get them over the hump. They can't use the whole women, girl, women. They can't really use that and galvanize white women. Remember, most white women voted for Trump. Hello. They don't like to admit that. See, they like to throw Black folks under the bus. Remember, most white women voted for Trump. They ain't going to use Hispanic. Remember, too many Hispanics, about half of them, supported Trump. Who's their base? And you know the white men are going for Trump. So who is their base? We are their base. We are their base. And without the large Black base, they're not going to get it popping. And the thing is, instead of catering to their base, they tell us they ain't going to do jack shit for us and prioritize everybody else. When it comes to benefits and tangibles, they prioritize everybody over us. And the only time we get prioritized is when punishment is about to be inflicted. Now, when it's time to punish some people, when you got the Biden's law and the three strikes, then all of a sudden we get pushed to the front of the line. When these same damn Democrats who we fueled, when they get some kind of crazy ass janky law, we get prioritized. Just like with these sex scandals, when it comes to people going to jail, all of a sudden we get prioritized. All of a sudden you got 100 indictments on R. Kelly. And Kevin Spacey's getting his charges and lawsuits dropped as we speak. So is Harvey Weinstein. Everybody else getting their shit dropped, but R. Kelly's getting them federal charges. Boy, they really, really prioritizing R. Kelly. Cosby sitting up in jail. See, we get prioritized for the punishment. And remember, these are Democrats. The Me Too and all this stuff, those are Democrats, y'all. Ed Buck is still running around here with them two dead bodies out of his house. Nobody's doing nothing to Ed Buck or the Brian Singers or none of these people. Yeah? So, yeah, don't let the Democrats and none of these people punk you or bully you. They should be ashamed to even show their faces around black society, talking about we should vote for them after the disrespect they've thrown upon us. We let them crash and burn unless they have our tangibles. Unless you have our tangibles, we'll let you crash and damn burn. Trump doesn't scare us. Do not let these people keep trying to scare you about Trump. Trump's racism is not as vicious as the Democrats' racism. Like I said, with Trump, we only got to deal with white supremacists. With the Democrats, we got to deal with white supremacists, anti-black hatred from Asians, anti-black hatred from Hispanics, anti-black hatred from other immigrants, anti-black hatred from the LGBT community. So we'll have to deal with anti-black hatred from too many other groups dealing with the Democrats. So don't let them scare you about Trump. When they start talking about how racist Trump is and all of these other people are just as racist, just as anti-black, and the Democrats aren't doing anything about it. No tangibles, no vote. We want our reparations and we are dead ass about it. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuned in. Don't forget, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Hidden Colors 5 is going to be out nationwide in 3 weeks. Get your movie poster this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, the sale will only be this weekend to get your Hidden Colors 5 authentic official movie poster, limited edition, only this weekend. This weekend only. After this weekend, it will not be for sale, family. And also get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the movie 1804. Also get your Hidden Colors 5 t-shirts at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. You dig? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, also go to Tangibles2020.com and firstthem.com as well. We still got those sites active. Tangibles2020.com and firstthem.com. I will holla at you guys this Sunday on the Sunday stream. You guys have a good weekend.